Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Christopher Hope, the Associate Editor for Politics at The Daily Telegraph, and this is Chopper's Politics Podcast. It's been a, taxing week for the Conservative Party.
Does the Prime Minister agree that any politician who seeks to avoid the taxes they owe in this country is not fit to be in charge of taxpayer money?
With regard to the appointment of the Minister without portfolio, the usual appointments process was followed. No issues were raised with me when he was appointed to his current role. And since I commented on this matter last week, more information has come forward. And that is why I have asked the independent adviser to look into the matter.
So with Nadeem Zahawi, the chairman of the Conservatives, keeping his personal finances in the headlines, we thought it'd be a good time to catch up with the current Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, to talk about the public purse instead. Time flies in politics. It's been just over 100 days since Jeremy Hunt was asked to take over from Kwasi Kwarteng by Liz Truss. Remember that? And then he was rehired as Chancellor by Rishi Sunak a few days later. So I took a trip to number 11 Downing Street on a wet January morning to talk about business, backing Britain, and of course, taxes.
Hi.
Hello.
This is
how you doing?
Team
Hope. Yeah, yes.
Now, last time I did this, we were in a pub.
We were in a pub, yes. Yes.
So I'm taking you up market, guys.
Okay, you ready to go?
Oh, yeah, fire away.
Okay, 100 days then. Are you still pinching yourself?
I do, actually. I wasn't expecting to be doing this job. I thought I was all beached up. Yeah. And then I got the text from Liz Truss that I thought was a hoax. And, you know,
she has changed my mobile phones quite a lot, so it could have been, yes, could have been a hoax.
The thing about politics is, I think you understand when you go into politics that you can never choose your job. Mm. You know, Parliament is full of people who are, you know, frustrated defence secretaries who are huge experts in a particular area and who never get a ministerial job in that area, and it just doesn't work out that way. And
no.
I've never done an economics brief. When I was health secretary, I'd never done anything to do with the NHS.
Culture, a bit of business there, but not
when I was culture secretary, I really didn't know anything about sport. I had to mug up pretty quickly. So, you know, so I think that's how politics is.
But you're well qualified because you're an entrepreneur. You made 14.5 million, we read, from selling your brilliant firm Hot Courses in 2014. You've swept the hard stuff.
Yes, I wouldn't necessarily believe all the numbers that you read in anywhere except the Daily Telegraph,
okay,
which of course
okay.
is immensely reliable. But that's why I couldn't say no to this job, because, becoming an entrepreneur was the best decision I ever made. I am a child of Margaret Thatcher, and she changed the mood. When I was at university, it was the late 80s, and her and Nigel Lawson made it fashionable to set up your own business. And I think I went to Oxford, and I think most Oxford graduates would have ended up in McKinsey or Goldman's or the civil service or the BBC, and I chose to go it alone. And I think that was because of a culture change where the country became pro-enterprise.
Have the Tories lost that? You've been in power now for 12 years?
I don't think we have. If you look at our strengths as an economy, you know, 25% of our output is in the high-growth industries of the future, like life sciences, technology. We're only the third country in the world to have a $1 trillion tech sector. And that's because we have hundreds of thousands of startups. And I actually think the declinism that you see so much of is just plain wrong. When you look at the facts, we've got everything going for us, and the big industries of the 21st century that are going to shape the world happen to be the areas that Britain is really strong in. And I'm biased. I'm a tech entrepreneur by background.
Yeah.
But I think we've got incredible opportunities.
As an entrepreneur, do you feel some sympathy, say, from the Nadeem Zahawi with this battle he's got with the tax man going back 20 years? I mean, when you are an entrepreneur, you do have debates about tax, as I understand it, and some areas are grey, some aren't, and that's where it may have come from.
Well, I don't want to talk about the individual case, but let me say this. I do want more entrepreneurs in politics. Mm. And, you know, I think it's a tremendous positive to have people around the cabinet table who know what it's like to take risks. And I think even though we've come a long way in this country, I still think we need to improve our attitude to risk-taking. For example, I think it is completely wrong to describe the fact that we didn't get a satellite launch to happen in Cornwall earlier this month as a failure. It wasn't. It was a stepping stone. And when we do become one of the very few countries in the world able to launch satellites into space, and by the way, we make around a quarter of the small satellites in the world in this country, we will say that was a crucial step in the journey. And I think, you know, too often we brand these kinds of things as failures when, you know, my business, I mean, this is a well-worn story and you've talked about it many times, but I had a whole succession of failures before I had a business that took off. You know, I've talked about trying to sell marmalade in Japan, but, you know, I also try to do a business in children's playgrounds. Yeah. I did a turn at Belgian chocolates, and I did tourist maps, and they all basically didn't work. And I think that we have to have a mentality. I think we are a country that aspires to greatness and wants to make a splash in the world. And if we do that, we've got to accept that we're going to need to take risks.
Yeah. Will you publish your tax return?
I will absolutely publish my tax return for my time as Chancellor, which I think is the right thing to do.
And that should be the new model of all in Cabinet now, do you think?
I think everyone must make their own decision, but I am in a different position because I am responsible for the nation's finances. Mm. And so I think there is a particular interest in the Chancellor's tax affairs.
I mean, do you worry then that Nadeem Zahawi sets a bad example by having into a battle with HMRC over?
Well, I don't want to. I think there's an investigation happening, and it wouldn't be right for me to make a judgment.
Of course, yeah. You're keen on cutting tax. You've got a picture of Nigel Lawson on your wall there. There's pressure from all over the place, particularly in our paper about tax. Why can't you start cutting taxes sooner than expected because of the good performance in November?
Well,
profit on bond sales.
Let me just say, I mean, Nigel Lawson was a great Chancellor because he cut tax, but that picture is actually up there because Rishi Sunak put it up there when he was Chancellor, and it stayed. And so it's not just me that wants to cut tax, the Prime Minister wants to cut tax as well, but the best tax cut we could give the British people would be to halve inflation. That is a huge, huge increase in people's disposable income, and inflation is an invidious tax rise.
Yeah,
which we need to get
so
out of the system.
You're a tax cutter. What alarmed MPs I spoke to after your autumn statement is when you used terms like unearned wealth on shares, that really upset them, and that wasn't a very Tory thing to say for them.
Well, I wouldn't use that phrase again.
No.
I think that, you know, the fact is that tax is a very important part, or low taxes are a very important part of getting the incentives right in an economy for innovation, entrepreneurialism, risk-taking. And if we're going to succeed in a post-Brexit world, it will be because Brexit makes us more hungry as a country. And, you know, I think we need to recognise that, you know, the success of Brexit will be because it's a catalyst that makes us get out into the world and try harder. And having competitive tax rates is a very important part of that. Of course, sound money has to come first because inflation is itself a tax. And that's the tax that I can bring down most quickly.
Yes.
But as soon as we are in a position to, of course, we want taxes to come down.
So budget next year.
It depends on public finances. And this is not just a glib sort of trying to duck the question. The reality is you just don't know budget to budget what the state of public finances are. But if you're saying to me, do I want to get taxes down? Yes, I do. If you're saying, where would I prioritise? My first priority would actually to bring down business taxes. We actually already have the second lowest business taxes in the
GCC. Corporation tax, business rates? Or?
I don't want to talk about particular bits, but we already have the second lowest business taxes as a proportion of GDP in the G7. But we should say we want to be the most competitive, have the most competitive tax rate, so that if people want to start a business, if they want to set up a business, if they want to invest in a European country, they choose here. And having competitive tax rates is very important.
But you want to stop putting taxes up, don't you? That's the position as a chance at the moment.
You know, we have had to put taxes up in order to be able to promise sound money and deliver the Prime Minister's objective to halve inflation. Mm. It's extremely painful and it's a last resort. And the difference between Labour and the Conservatives is that we bring taxes down as soon as we can. Labour never does.
Coming up, what happened when I asked Jeremy Hunt whether he could, to quote former Chancellor Norman Lamont, in the mid-1990s, see green shoots of recovery in the economy? Right after this.
Nigel Farage.
This is the most commonest thing done by any government in my lifetime in this country.
Lionel Shriver.
Which is worse, Biden's not being in control and Biden being in control?
Charles Moore.
I think if people in general feel that their traditions, culture, history, values, etc. are under assault, they are basically right.
My name is Stephen Edgington, and if you're enjoying this podcast, you might like Off Script, a new series from The Telegraph. Provocative conversations with provocative individuals. Each episode, I sit down with a world-leading commentator to unpick the ongoing culture wars. Unfiltered, unscripted, and full of free speech. Be sure to listen to Off Script in the same place you're listening to this, and make sure to follow so you don't miss an episode.
Last chance to give a budget was Mr. Sunak. He wanted to cut income tax to 19p next March. That could be a good idea still.
Well, I think it's too soon to speculate on the type of taxes one would cut because we just don't know public finances and what they are. But my priority for this year is to show that this government is not just about stability, it's about growth. We have a plan. I'm going to be talking about that plan a lot more in the weeks ahead. And I think my other priority is to combat the declinism that seems to have taken hold about Britain.
Mm. What do you blame social media for that? I mean,
I think that, you know, we've had a bumpy time politically and a bumpy time economically, and we've got a lot of industrial action. And I can understand why people read the newspapers and feel a bit gloomy. But what I would say is, if you want to bet on a country that is going to succeed handsomely in the 21st century, I back Britain. I think we got everything going for us. And I just say, I mean, I give you one example, Chris. You know, I've said in my autumn statement, I want us to be the world's next Silicon Valley. That's a big dream. But it's not just a dream. We don't just have the biggest tech sector in Europe. We have the biggest financial services sector in Europe, second biggest in the world. And we have the best universities in Europe, second best in the world. So we have the ingredients that could turn this into the most extraordinary innovation powerhouse. Mm. And I think that's our opportunity.
Can you see green shoots?
If you may remember, predecessor of mine got into a lot of trouble when he started talking about green shoots. But what I would say is I've never felt that we are in the doldrums as a country, and I've always been extremely optimistic.
Shallow recession is what you talked about.
But I also know as an entrepreneur that success doesn't come without work, and we have to take the difficult decisions in order to unleash the success that we're capable of.
So on that, you mentioned, didn't you, in November, 300,000 over 50s have gone missing, economically inactive. Why is that? What's the reason for it? That's the concern, isn't it?
Well, some people have made a decision to retire because they can afford to. I would just say that, you know, life expectancy has gone up dramatically in recent years. And if you're over 50, you've actually got time for another entirely new career in your life. And even if you don't want to work full time, work can be an incredibly enriching part of that third phase of your life. And I think that we want to tap into the abilities, the skills, the experience, the wisdom of people who've done a lot of other things in their life. And so we want to be an economy where people of all ages feel that they can participate.
But they're not, are they? Do you blame work from home? Are you a fan of work from home? I think you can work from home here, can't you?
There are specific areas where working from home can increase productivity.
Yes.
For example, parents who have childcare responsibilities, for example, disabled people. There are opportunities that the Zoom world makes possible, which can help some people work who might not otherwise have been able to work. But do I think it's a good thing for everyone? No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because whilst you may be able to tick the boxes for all the precise jobs that you're paid to do if you do them from home, do you get the creativity, the buzz, the teamwork, the personal growth that you would get if you were in an office with a team of people around you, everyone focusing on trying to achieve the same task? You don't. And that's why we need to get back to people being in the office, working as teams, getting all the benefits that you get from being with lots of other people, bouncing ideas off each other, all those water cooler moments. And yeah, I think that is a part of life, and I think we need to make sure we get it back.
So you're with Jacob Rees-Mogg?
Well, I think, you know, Jacob Rees-Mogg had an important insight when he said that this is not a permanent change that we want to see in the economy.
Yeah, and you'll be trying to get the Treasury staff that you work with here to come back to work. What's the rule? Is it 5 days a week or 4 days a week now?
Well, Treasury staff, I think, are about average for government departments.
Which is,
we do have a lot of remote meetings because we have a branch in Darlington. And that, I think, is a really positive thing. But can we do better? Of course we can.
And will there be new rules? Days in the office, 4 days a week, is the new requirement?
I don't know if we need new rules, but I would like to encourage people to come into the office and meet the Chancellor face-to-face.
Just on strikes, we're told that you're the person holding back a backdated pay for nurses. Is that right?
Well, we have a position across the whole of government, which is that the government has got five big jobs this year, but to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of the five is to halve inflation. That is the most important. And so we want to resolve these strikes. We want to talk. We're happy to talk about anything except things that will entrench high inflation and mean this is still a problem that we have this time next year.
So are you looking at some kind of cost of living payment for these 3 months up until March and then a new deal where the pay review body is looking into the
next
financial?
Well, I don't want to second guess the negotiations, but I want, you know, as Chancellor, I want to support the Prime Minister in this ambition. We've just been talking about tax cuts. You know, inflation is a tax rise of a different kind. And so we want to resolve these issues. We recognise people in public services work extremely hard, but we can't agree to anything that's going to entrench high inflation.
You're a former health secretary, of course. Do you agree with Satya Javid about the need to maybe charge for GP appointments? There's cross-party agreement now from the Tories and Labour to do something more to reform the NHS, more private involvement.
I agree that we need some radical reforms in the NHS. I don't think that's the one I would choose. I think we need to look at the targets culture, which has made the NHS the most micromanaged health service in the world. And I think we could learn from the freedom that we give heads in the school system. And I look at the extremely impressive way that we've risen nine places in the international league tables for English and maths. And we've done it by decentralizing power, by allowing heads to manage. I don't think we allow hospital managers to do that. So that's where I'd like to see the reforms.
Do you have private healthcare?
No.
Just briefly.
Nicely sneaked in.
Very briefly. Thought to ask that question. Very briefly. back in December 2018, you were in favour of a new Royal Britannia funded by private money.
Well, you
do
know,
you sit there on the prow with me on this amazing project?
Do you know, I love your campaigning for this. And let me say this. I want us to be proud as a country. I think right now, when you look at the existential battle for freedom that is going on in Ukraine, our priority has to be supporting brave Ukrainians. Is it something that I would like us to see in my lifetime? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Briefly then, last 2 minutes of your time. Thank you for your time, Chancellor. What's next for Jeremy Hunt? Do you want to be leader? That's gone, isn't it?
I'm
you can't believe you're here.
I think that is not going to happen, and I don't want it to happen. And I think Lucia would never forgive me if I told Lucia and Rishi Sunak would never forgive me if I told the Telegraph that this is the plan. It isn't the plan.
She'd blame me, wouldn't she? Briefly, on your quick-fire questions, we have to do in any podcast. How good are you at budgeting when on holiday?
I'm afraid I'm pretty boringly good. You expect that from a chancellor, but
exactly.
It's bad to say it. But even on holiday, I'm probably pretty good.
Okay, red briefcase or no briefcase?
Red briefcase for budgets. The rest of the time, no briefcase. They're bloody heavy.
McDonald's or Nando's?
Oh, God. Let me be honest, GBK.
Okay. Your favourite scent of candle?
My favourite scent of candle? Wow. That's sandalwood.
Levelling up or knocking back a few pints?
Oh, definitely levelling up.
Jeremy Hunt, you've got to go. Thank you for joining us on a busy time for you as Chancellor. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Chris.
Thank you to Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the team around him for allowing us into 11 Downing Street for that interview. Let me know what your thoughts are on what the Chancellor had to say about taxes, working from home, and declinism, as he kept calling it. You can get in touch with me via email, chopperspolitics@telegraph.co.uk, or on Twitter. We're at chopperspodcast. Thank you, as ever, to my brilliant team of producers, Louisa Wells and Giles Gear. Even if they wrote those ridiculous quickfire questions at the end, they weren't mine, honestly. And most importantly of all, thank you to you for listening. If you need more Chopper's Politics in your life, and if so, I can't really blame you, why not sign up to my daily Chopper's Politics newsletter? You'll get Westminster Whispers and Insights delivered straight into your email inbox every weekday lunchtime. It's free to sign up, and the link for it will be in the show notes to this episode. And please do check out my weekly Peterborough Diary gossip column, out every Friday evening at 7 p.m. online and in Saturday's newspaper. And remember, as always, if you can, please do buy a copy of the Daily Telegraph. It's a must-read. Until next time, though, cheerio!
The 14th of October, that is what I will always remember.
Yes.
The date that my life changed.
That's right.
In ways I was not predicting. Rushed back on Eurostar.
Were you on holiday?
Yeah, I was on holiday in Brussels.
In Brussels.
Yes. So I managed to get in a moule and frites the night before.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.